on KIXI Seattle. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. Transition funds for former President Nixon have been cut in half. The House Appropriations Committee approved a final sum of $398,000. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Ford had originally requested $850,000 for Mr. Nixon. The full House is expected to vote on the reduced funds next week. The same committee also said Mr. Nixon's White House tapes and papers should not be moved to San Clemente. On the other side of the Capitol, the Senate committee approved similar legislation, giving the government control of the Nixon tapes and documents. A House subcommittee investigating the Nixon pardon is slightly ruffled at the response it received from President Ford. Committee Chairman William Hungate wrote Mr. Ford asking for more of an explanation. Back came a letter saying everything that needed to be said had been said at a White House press conference, and the transcripts of the remarks were also enclosed with the letter. Democratic Representative Don Edwards of California says the presidential response makes him feel uneasy.
There's been a change, actually. Jerry Ford, the minority leader, would have given you a low-key, honest answer to a series of questions such as this. It seemed to some of us on the subcommittee that somebody in the White House from the Nixon administration was writing the same type of answers today that we were getting a few months ago in the Watergate hearings. It made us feel very uneasy. It's not the old Jerry Ford that we knew.
Representative Don Edwards. More CBS News after this.
Hey, we're the Action Corps.
See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C,
D.
We could go on all day.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSPP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into Action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council. Nelson Rockefeller appears before the Senate Rules Committee again Wednesday. The members are considering his confirmation as vice president. Rockefeller expected to finish testifying Tuesday, but Chairman Howard Cannon told him to be back Wednesday morning. Tuesday, Rockefeller defended President Ford's decision to pardon Richard Nixon. Mariah McLaughlin reports.
Rockefeller said it was a courageous and compassionate act on the part of Mr. Ford, and he had this assessment of the whole Watergate trauma.
The constitutional process went forward. The constitutional process worked. The information was brought out. The president resigned. The president accepted a pardon, which, in my opinion, is tantamount to admitting guilt.
On other questions, Rockefeller defended his handling of the Attica prison uprising, said he felt oil companies had not raised their prices unnecessarily during the shortage, and he refused to criticize the arrangement made with former President Nixon, giving him possession of the White House tapes. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
The Associated Press reports President Ford probably will name Princeton University professor Albert Rees to head the new government wage and price agency. Rees told the AP he had been approached about the job. He reportedly does not favor mandatory wage and price controls at this time, but does feel they can be useful under certain circumstances. Electric rates for the nation's 50 largest utilities rose an average of 55% during the first half of 1974. Last year, the increase was just above 12%. The figures were released today at the World Energy Conference in Detroit. More CBS News after this.
Hey, Bernie.
Yeah.
Looks like we're the first ones here.
Hey, we'll get a crack at the big ones.
Yeah.
You got the tackle box?
Yeah, right here. Hey, that looks like a good place down there at the end of the pier. See?
Yeah.
We'll just put... Oh! Bernie, help! I can't swim!
I'm coming, Joe. Hang on. I'm coming.
Help.
I'll save you. Okay, Joe, here I am. Now, don't get excited, but there's just one thing I forgot.
What?
I can't swim either.
Help!
It's one thing to be a hero, but it's quite another to become a drowning statistic. The American Red Cross has a few tips on how you can rescue someone and not even get wet. If the victim is within reach, you can lie down flat and let him grab your arm or leg. Otherwise, you can use a pole or a paddle to extend your reach. If need be, just throw him something that will float. Remember, you don't have to know how to swim to save a life. For more information, call your Red Cross.
Help!
By the way, the Red Cross has Learn to Swim courses, too.
Defense Secretary Schlesinger said Tuesday night that congressional cuts in aid to South Vietnam have put an ally on the military equivalent of starvation rations. Congress approved $700 million for aid to the Saigon government, less than half what the Defense Department wanted. The House Foreign Affairs Committee has voted to limit U.S. military aid to South Korea to $100 million for the coming year. The committee cited repression by President Park as the reason. The administration had requested $161 million. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
In CBS, for Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Fair and continued warm through Thursday with a cooling trend on Thursday. Highs near 80, lows in the mid-50s. There will be no chance of rain. In downtown Seattle, it's currently 67 degrees. And in sports and Major League Baseball activity, in the National League, Pittsburgh took over first place in the National League East as they defeated St. Louis 7-3. Philadelphia down the New York Mets 6-3. Chicago beat Montreal 6-4 in the first game. Montreal won the nightcap 11-2. Cincinnati over Houston 5-1. Los Angeles maintained their five-game lead as they defeated Atlanta 2-1. And it was San Diego 3, San Francisco 2. In the American League, Boston downed the New York Yankees twice, 4-0 and 4-2. Baltimore beat Detroit 5-4. It was Milwaukee edging Cleveland 4-3. California beat Kansas City by a score of 9-3. Chicago and Texas postponed because of rain. It's 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The world, it is said, has changed over the centuries, but people have not. Perhaps this is because all too often the human heart is more intent on seeking its own pleasure, satisfying its own selfish needs, than giving thought to others. But there is innocence, too, and love, and selflessness. And it is the interplay of these good and evil forces that form the warp and woof of the strange and horrifying tale I bring you now. Listen.
Oh, Murray, I tell you, it was Chris. I talked to him. Chris is alive.
Andrea, Chris is dead.
No! Whoever is buried in that grave, it isn't Chris!
Mystery drama, My Sister, Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Paul Hecht and Beatrice Strait. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Peter Ustinov speaks for UNICEF.
The nations of this world spend as much on the children of this world as they do on armaments in 2 hours. And did you know that the problems of these children would be well on the way to being settled at the cost of 1 day of war, 1 day of local war, 1 day of clean, modern war? And did you know that UNICEF manages to reach 100 million children, which means, unfortunately, that it fails to reach 900 million? This, of course, should be the job of governments, but at the moment it's the job of individuals as much as governments. And if you are as troubled by these facts as I, then you will give as generously as you possibly can to UNICEF, the World Organization, to help children, to help tomorrow, to help us.
Come with me now to a cemetery near New York City. It is late afternoon, an afternoon of gloom and drizzle and cold, damp fog. 2 women, half shrouded in the fog, walk amongst headstones that rise like white bones in the gray of the afternoon. They are sisters, these two, Andrea and Sybil Carter, and they are walking toward a certain grave.
Really, Andrea? It seems to me we could have skipped visiting Chris's grave today.
You needn't have come if you didn't want to, Sybil. When we buried our brother 2 weeks ago, I vowed to visit him every day. That's what I'm doing.
But you can't go on doing this the rest of your life. Even Murray has asked you to be reasonable about it.
Yes, come once a week, he says, or once a month. Well, you know what that would lead to. Coming not at all. No. I love Chris more than anyone else in the world, and I'm... Who's that? What? Someone. A man. Standing beside Chris's grave. Can just make him out in the fog.
I don't see... Oh, yes. A man standing with his head bent as if he were praying.
Shh. He's raising his head. He's turning towards us.
Andrea, don't be silly. It couldn't possibly be.
It is. I'm telling you, it's Chris. It's Chris.
Andrea! Oh, Murray, come in.
Sorry I couldn't come the minute I got your call, Sybil.
Oh, that's all right, Murray. I know how busy your law practice keeps you.
Your estate, you mean, yours and Andrea's. Chris's death has raised all sorts of tax problems.
I'm afraid his death has raised more problems than that.
Yeah? Yeah, what is this all about?
I told you on the phone.
You didn't really tell me what I thought I heard.
Andrea is convinced she saw Chris. Saw him today in the cemetery, standing beside his own grave.
Oh, come on, Sybil. What kind of nonsense is...
Murray, please. I'm telling you the truth.
Where is Andrea?
In her bedroom, sleeping. Dr. Swanson gave her a strong sedative. Murray, she was in such a state, so hysterical.
Look, let me get this straight. You and she went to Chris's grave this afternoon?
Yes. We were walking toward the grave when we noticed a man standing beside it.
And there was a man?
Oh, yes. I saw him, too. He was standing beside the grave with his head bent, as if he was saying a prayer or meditating or something. I had just said I wondered who he could be when he raised his head and turned towards us.
Huh.
That was when Andrea started to scream, "It's Chris, it's Chris." And then she just fainted. Went out cold.
Who was the man?
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? You didn't see his face? You didn't talk to him?
It was a foggy day, Murray. It's been foggy all day, and out there at the cemetery it was very foggy. I could barely see his face. And so if it comes to that, neither could Andrea.
Well, this is the strangest thing I've ever... Tell me, has Andrea had any other... brainstorms like this one? Well, has she?
Well, Murray, I...
Now, look, sweetie, I'm your attorney, yours and Andrea's. If something not quite right is happening, you can tell me. In fact, you'd better tell me.
Oh, Murray. You're more than just our lawyer, you know that. It's no secret that Andrea's in love with you. And that I am, too.
And that I'm in love with both of you and can't make up my mind between you. But what has that to do with it?
Oh, she'll pull herself together sooner or later and straightened out. Chris's death was a terrible blow to her, that's all.
It was a blow to you, too, wasn't it?
More than a blow, Murray. A puzzle. I still can't figure out how he could have fallen over a railing nearly chest high. 18 stories to the street below.
Frankly, I keep wondering about that, too. But about Andrea now...
Murray, the truth is she's been acting very strangely.
What do you mean, strangely?
Well, imagining things. Like Chris this afternoon and... Well, a few days we went shopping downtown, and I took the Bentley. When we went back to the parking lot to get it, Andrea looked shocked when the attendant brought it around.
Why shocked?
Well, she swore up and down that we'd driven into town in the Jaguar.
That's crazy.
Murray, please don't say that. Don't even use that word. Something even stranger happened last night.
What?
Well, we'd had dinner here in the apartment. And Andrea said she was going to walk down to the corner to mail a letter and get a breath of fresh air. I stayed at the table having another cup of coffee. Well, when she came back from mailing the letter... You couldn't have gotten much fresh air in that short a time.
Fresh air? What are you talking about? What is all this?
What's all what?
Well, the table. The food, the dirty dishes.
What do you think it is?
I'm asking you. What is this?
Oh, it's what's usually left after two people have had dinner.
What two people?
Oh, Andrea, come on now.
Will you answer me?
What do you want me to say? We had dinner. You went out to mail a letter and get a breath of... Andrea, what's the matter?
We did not have dinner here.
We didn't.
We had it at Delahanty's.
I see, just like we used the Jag instead of the Bentley the other day.
Now, what kind of a crack is that?
No crack, Andrea, no crack. All I'm saying is you're imagining things again.
I did not imagine the Jaguar. I am not imagining this. You and I had dinner at Del Delahanty's, not here.
In that case, Andrea, where have you just come from?
Come from?
You went out to mail a letter and get a breath of fresh air, you said. You just came back. You just now walked through the door. If that doesn't prove...
You're forgetting the earring.
Earring? What earring?
Here, look. You can see for yourself I've only got one earring on.
Well, you must have dropped it when you...
That's exactly what I said less than 15 minutes ago. When we got home from Delahanty's and were getting out of the car, I said, Sib, I've lost an earring. One that's from that jade pair that Murray gave me for my birthday. I said I wanted to search the car. And that's what I've been doing. I haven't been out mailing any letters. I've been searching in the car for that jade earring. Damn it, Sybil. Don't look at me as if I've lost my senses.
You know, I'm beginning to be afraid you have.
I tell you, Sybil...
If we had dinner at Delahanty's, what is all this food and these plates and everything else doing on this table?
I don't know.
Well, darling, I do. We had dinner here.
No. I'm certain we couldn't have.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to call Del Delahanty. He saw us there tonight. He came over to our table and chatted with us. We'll soon see whether we dined there or we didn't.
Andrea, dear, please. You're simply going to embarrass yourself.
Del, is that you?
Yes, who's this?
Andrea Carter, Del.
Nice to hear from you, Miss Carter. Calling for a reservation?
What?
We're pretty full up, Miss Carter, but I'm sure I can arrange something if...
Del...
Yeah?
Del, my sister and I, didn't we have dinner at your place tonight?
Are you putting me on, Miss Carter?
We didn't dine there tonight?
If you did, I didn't see you.
Thank you, Del. He says,
We weren't there tonight.
Darling, we weren't.
Then I did imagine it all?
Afraid you did, yes.
But it was all so real. Sybil, I'm going out of my mind.
And I had a real rough time with her then, too. Believe me, Murray. She was simply beside herself.
Yeah. A jaguar, this business of Delahanty's, and now today imagining she saw Chris at his own grave.
Murray, you don't think she's... Well, you know.
I don't know. Grief hits some people like a sledgehammer, belts them so hard they never recover. Trouble is...
Yes? Trouble is...
Andrea isn't that kind of people.
Well, Mr. Redmond.
Hello, Del.
Nice to have a future New York DA at my bar again.
That'll be the day. That I make a district attorney, I mean.
Me? I'd bet on it. Drink okay?
Perfect.
Long time no see. You've been busy, I guess, huh?
Very. You too. I see Delahanty's is just as crowded as ever.
I got no complaints. Carriage trade mostly. People that wouldn't go anywhere else but Delahanty's to dine and dance or just have a drink at a bar.
Or gamble.
How is that?
Gambling does go on in the back room, doesn't it?
Where'd you get an idea like that, Mr. Redmond?
Oh, I have ways. If I'm going to help you win your bet and become DA someday, I got to keep on top of things, wouldn't you say, Del?
Yeah. Well, nice having you with us again, Mr. Redmond. Hope to see more of you.
Yeah. Before you go, Del...
Yeah?
A friend of mine, a lady friend, mentioned she thought she'd lost an earring here one night.
An earring?
Yeah, a jade earring. Would you know something about it, maybe?
No, but we keep a lost and found box right behind the bar. Eddie, give me the lost and found box, will you? If it was lost here, Mr. Redmond, and we picked it up, it's sure to be. Well, thanks, Eddie. There we are. Now, let's see. Gold cigarette lighter. Look at them rings. Dame's leave them in the powder room. Money clip. Oh, here. An earring. This what you're looking for, Mr. Redmond?
Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what I'm looking for, Del.
Well, hey, I look on your face. You look like you found a lot more than an earring.
I have, Del. I have.
Murray Redmond has indeed found more than just Andrea Carter's earring. He has also found that she didn't imagine dining at Delahanty's. Nor then, in all likelihood, did she imagine driving into town in the Jaguar. The Jaguar which unaccountably turned into a Bentley. But as for imagining or not imagining her dead brother standing beside his own grave, well, we'll get closer to the answer to that when I return in a few moments with Act Two.
Some research experts say you can't taste the difference between beers. Well, if they're right, then Anheuser-Busch wastes a barrel of time Beechwood aging Budweiser. Only they don't think so. Brewing beer right does make a difference. And they're betting a bundle that you can taste the difference in Bud. When it comes to brewing Budweiser, the Anheuser-Busch choice is to go all the way. Because they still care about quality. Look at it this way. If the Bud people have a choice between what some experts say and what beer drinkers say, well, you'd better believe they'll go with you beer drinkers every time. When you say Budweiser, you said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Turn 18 and I'll do what I can. Find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and the new. Oh, where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I'm finished with school, but what lies ahead? Don't wanna get trapped. wanna feel free and dead. All over the world, there's so much to do. The call of the sea, don't you hear it too? Where do I go from here? Where do I go from here?
What about the new Navy? You'll get your chance of success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
We are told that the proper study of man is man. Personally, I prefer to study women. Whether I did or not, I'm sure that had I been handsome young attorney Murray Redden, unable to decide which of two wealthy sisters I wanted to marry, I'd have been absolutely intrigued by the curious circumstances which now seem to attend them. I'm not sure, however, that I'd have adopted Murray's direct approach.
Sybil is either trying to drive you crazy, Andrea, or she's setting you up for commitment to a sanitarium.
I can't believe this, Murray.
Here's the earring to prove it.
But isn't it possible that somebody else lost an earring at Delahanty's, the duplicate of mine? Okay. It isn't. Oh, Murray, I can't believe that.
What you're saying is you don't want to believe it. I don't either, but facts are facts. You and Sybil did have dinner at Delahanty's last night. She arranged things to make it look as if you dined here. And face it, Andrea, if you hadn't lost the earring, and I hadn't picked it up at Delahanty's right at this minute, you'd think you were going off your rocker. And frankly, so would I.
Well, it was clever of you to check for the earring at Del's.
Well, I'm a pretty smart fella, you know. Smart enough, anyhow, to smell a rat when I come across it. Like this dinner business, or the car nonsense, or Chris standing beside his own grave. Yeah, and I might as well tell you now, Andrea, I don't believe Chris's death was accidental.
Murray.
No one could have fallen over that railing. Fallen off accidentally, yeah. If he'd been sitting on the railing, even taken his own life if it comes to that. No, personally, I think he was pushed.
Murray. Do you realize you're accusing Sybil of murder?
I do.
And of trying to make it look as if I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Well, why? Why would she do anything like that?
Do you really want me to answer that?
No. I suppose not. If what you say is true, and it isn't, the answer could be that Sybil wanted to get control of all our money.
And me.
You?
To lay it on the line, Andrea, she's in love with me.
So am I. What else is new?
Well, there you have it. With you out of the way, Sybil would have, or think she'd have, a clear feel.
I just don't know what to say or do.
Well, the thing to do, at least for the moment, is simply to play along. You see, what I want is to get enough evidence against Sybil to nail the truth and her to the wall.
You know what? I'm simply dumbfounded. Oh, it can't be true, Murray. It simply can't.
We all have more than one side or sides we usually conceal.
Yes, I know it. But...
Oh. What's the matter, Andrea? What is it?
That painting on the wall there.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you've seen it before. Look at it.
I'm looking at it. So what? Three children playing on a lawn.
There were always four.
Four kids? I mean, are you sure?
Well, I'm positive. There were two boys and two girls, and now they're two girls, but only one boy. Murray, this isn't another of Sybil's...
Well, we'll soon find out. Let's just have a close look at the painting.
Well?
No, I don't see... Wait a minute. Sure. Oh, man, what a skillful job.
Skillful?
Yeah, of painting out the figure of the second boy. Here, see for yourself. You'd never know that figure had been painted out if you didn't look closely, very closely. You see?
Well, yes. My God. It is true, then, that Sybil is...
I'm afraid so, Andrea. However you look at it, Sybil is guilty as sin.
All I've got to do is prove it.
You get the hell out of my office, Redmond, or I'll throw you out.
Cool it, Del. Just cool it.
Cool it? You come in here and call me crooked, accuse me of pulling some kind of fraud, and then tell me to cool it?
All right, let's say I advise you to cool it. Look at this.
The earring you picked up here last night. What about it?
It belongs to Andrea Carter. It's one of a pair I gave her. She lost it out there in the restaurant while she was having dinner with her sister. The dinner you said never took place.
I said?
Andrea phoned you last night to ask if she and Sybil had dinner here. You said they hadn't. You lied, Del. Now, why did you lie, huh?
Okay, so I played a little joke.
Somehow it doesn't strike me so funny. I'll tell you what does, though. Why you and Sybil Carter teamed up to play this little joke on Andrea.
Teamed up? Me and Sybil Carter?
What else? Look, Del, take a lawyer's advice. Open up. Spill everything. And do it now.
Cop a plea? Like that?
Something like that.
Chris Carter, the brother.
Yeah.
He was into me for over 12 grand. He gambled like it was going out of style and always lost.
Go on.
So he falls off the terrace of their apartment and gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out 12 grand. I call up the Carters and I get the Sybil dame on the phone. I tell her how I'm out a dozen big ones and she tells me to drop dead.
Oh.
But the next day, she shows up here and says she'll pay the dough if I'll help her play a little joke on her sister.
Pretty expensive joke, wouldn't you say?
I didn't say anything. If she's willing to get me off the pad for 12 grand, I'm willing to help her play her joke. So where's the harm in that? Who gets hurt?
Worse than hurt, Del. Somebody could get dead. Real dead.
Del broke down and told her the whole story. Just like that?
It surprised even me. I guess he's not as tough as he looks. Or acts. Fact is, though, that earring of yours stopped him cold. I had him dead to rights and he knew it.
Murray.
Yeah?
I want to face Sybil with this. Face her right now.
She's bound to try another trick, and probably soon. Mm. And that could be the one that hangs her.
If it weren't for you. Oh, Murray. I'd be out of my mind. I'd be stark raving mad this minute.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah, you're too level-headed for that. Well, forewarned is forearmed. You know what Sybil's up to. We both do. So she can't win, Andrea.
Murray. When this is over, let's get married.
I couldn't make up my mind which one of you I wanted for a wife, but I guess I can now. Andrea, I definitely can now. Yeah. Oh, of course, Marcia. Send her in. Oh, come in, Sybil. Come in.
I know I'm interrupting you. It's something important.
You are, but you're worth it. Here, sit down.
Thank you.
How's Andrea?
She's my reason for being here, Murray.
Well, what do you want to tell me?
Murray, I'm worried about Andrea. Terribly worried.
You mean her nervous attacks?
Well, they're more than that, I'm afraid. What you call nervous attacks seem more like delusions to me. I'm beginning to think that she is on the verge of insanity.
Has something else happened?
Yes. There's a picture on the wall of the living room. A painting of three children playing on a lawn.
Yeah?
Andrea swears that there were four children in the picture, not just three.
Or were there? Four children in the picture, I mean.
Well, of course not.
There were always three.
Well, yes.
You don't sound too sure.
What I'm trying to say is, well, I couldn't swear in a court of law that there were always three children in the painting. Well, you know how we look at things after a while without really seeing them. What I am saying is that if there are three children in the painting now, then there must have always been three, not four.
Makes sense.
Which Andrea's saying that there were four doesn't.
Hmm.
That, combined with everything else that's happened since Chris died, has got me worried.
Yeah, something to worry about.
So what I came to ask you, do you think I ought to get her to consult a psychiatrist?
Might be a good idea.
Would there be any danger in it?
Danger?
Well, I mean, if she went to a psychiatrist and he discovered that she was seriously ill, I mean, really insane, would she be committed or something like that?
Well, it depends.
On what?
First of all, whether she was dangerous to herself, others. If he felt that she was, he'd certainly recommend placing her in a sanitarium where she could be cared for and perhaps, in time, cured. If that was to happen, if he made that decision, you'd have to sign papers of commitment.
Oh.
Would you?
I don't suppose I'd have any choice, would I?
Oh, there's always a choice.
Another thing. If anything like that were to happen, what about the estate?
You know as well as I do, Sybil, that you'd be in complete control.
Well, no, I didn't know.
Your father's will divided his fortune equally among the three of you. You, Andrea, Chris. You and Andrea came into Chris's share when he died several weeks ago. If you signed papers certifying Andrea as insane, she would be declared incompetent to handle her affairs, and as next of kin, you'd take over for her. You didn't know that?
As I said, I don't know much, if anything, about these things. That's why I came to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now you know. Sorry, excuse me, Sybil. Yes, Marcia. Oh, yeah, put it through.
Murray, come quickly, please.
Andrea, what is it?
Murray, we're wrong. All wrong. It isn't Sybil. She's not playing tricks. Murray, I am going out of my mind.
What happened?
I can't talk. Murray.
Yeah.
Please, come.
Andrea, where are you?
Oh.
Okay, I'm on my way. Andrea, you've got to get control of yourself.
What is it, dear? What happened?
I went to the cemetery to visit Chris's grave.
Yeah, I know that.
And a man was standing beside the grave like the other day, Sybil.
Yes, dear, yes.
And like the other day, as I walked towards the grave, he lifted his head and looked straight at me. It was Chris.
Honey, the man we saw the other day wasn't Chris. And neither was this one.
It was Chris.
The way you sound, you sound as if you actually believe.
I do believe it was Chris. He talked to me.
He what?
He said, as I came towards him, he held out his arms to me and he said, "Hi, sis. Thanks for coming."
And it was his voice?
His voice. His face. Oh, Murray, I tell you, it was Chris. It was Chris to the life.
Well, if you're shocked, think how shocked Murray Redmond must have been. His entire theory that Sybil is trying to have Andrea committed out the window, just like that. On the other hand, Chris couldn't be standing by his own grave. Could he? Perhaps we'll find out when I return shortly with Act 3.
Excuse me, madam.
Oh, I'm in an awful hurry.
I just wonder if you could answer a simple question for me.
So do I.
The question is this.
What?
What happens this time of year?
Oh, that's easy. The kids get home from camp. Goodbye.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
Nope.
I mean, I should know when my kids get home from camp.
Well, the answer I had in mind was a tad more general in scope.
Well, I gave my answer. Let's hear yours.
You know, I'm glad you asked.
Are you?
You see, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving particularly great deals on all their 74 Buicks. For a family woman such as yourself, I think a neat little Apollo would be just the ticket. It's small, economical, but surprisingly roomy. And it's a Buick, so it's really quite elegant.
You don't say.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't that good news?
Yes.
I mean, that you can get such a nifty deal on such a nifty small car.
To be sure it is, yes.
To be sure. By the way, where do your kids go to camp?
Guam. It's a small island in the South Pacific.
Guam.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
It is almost axiomatic that at those moments in life when we are absolutely sure we are right, something happens that shocks us with the knowledge that we are absolutely wrong. Assuredly, that is what has just happened to Andrea Carter and Murray Redmond. Convinced that beyond a shadow of a doubt, Andrea's sister, Sybil, is trying to set her up for commitment to an asylum, they are stunned to realize that this may not be the case at all.
But, Andrea, what you're saying is impossible. It couldn't have happened.
Oh, I tell you, it did, it did, it did, it did.
I'm going to phone Dr. Swanson.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll come right over.
Come on, Andrea. What is the meaning of this?
What?
Chris is dead. You couldn't have met him at the grave. You couldn't have talked to him.
Murray, please believe me. It happened. It was Chris.
It's incredible. Inconceivable. You say you talked with him? What did you talk about? What did you say?
He said, hi, sis. Thanks for coming.
And you?
For a few minutes, I couldn't say anything. All I could do was just stare at him. And he looked at me and he said, trust me, sis. I'll explain everything in time. I just wanted you to know that I'm alive.
And then what happened?
And then he said he was going to leave me then, but that I'd see him again soon. And he kissed me on the cheek.
Kissed you?
Yes. Then he began to walk away, and I started after him. But he turned, and then he said, no, no. Don't follow me. You'll understand in time. I let him go. I let him walk out of my life again.
I can't believe any of this. I
can't believe it either, but it happened. Oh, Murray. What does it mean? This can't be one of Sybil's tricks. The man I talked to was my brother. I don't know who we buried in that grave. But it couldn't have been Chris.
It was.
It couldn't.
I was there. I was there when they closed the casket. I was one of the pallbearers.
Oh.
Dr. Swanson's on his way over. How are you feeling, Andrea?
I'll be all right.
Would you like a drink now?
Oh, yes. I could use one, Sybil.
Murray?
Yeah, I could too. Double, please.
Murray, Chris can't be alive, and yet... Murray, we are going to have to open the casket.
Oh, no.
Sybil's right.
Oh, no.
I've got a court order this afternoon. Don't look so horrified, Andrea. You don't have to be there.
Oh, but yes, I do.
Oh, Andrea, why?
Because I know what you're thinking. Both of you now. You're thinking I'm out of my mind.
I don't.
You must. What I've told you is crazy. Well, I want to be there when you open that grave and see for yourself the proof that I'm sane. Or...
Or what, dear?
Mad! Stark mad!
All right, gently, boys. Gently.
Hope we're up now, Mr. Redmond.
Yeah.
I can't look.
That's all right, Sybil. Look, why don't you just go over there under the trees? You don't have to look either, Andrea.
I must.
Oh!
stay there, Sybil. Sybil, don't come here. Don't look.
Marjorie.
All right, close it up, boys. Close it up.
The coffin, who's in it?
Yes, it's Chris. And for the last time, Andrea, I do not think you're crazy. You're as sane as I am.
Then, my meeting with Chris and talking to him, it was a trick.
Yes.
But how could it have been done? How could Sybil have managed it?
I don't know. You said that Sybil is clever. I'd say she's diabolically clever. Andrea, I brought this along. I want you to take it, and I want you to keep it near you.
A gun?
Yeah.
Murray, I'm scared to death of guns. I couldn't even touch that
thing. Now, listen to me. There's no question in my mind now that Chris's death was not accidental.
Sybil...
He was pushed off that terrace out there. I'm sure of it. I'm equally sure that Sybil may try to kill you.
Oh, no!
It's a possibility. Oh. Her plan to have you committed is not working out, not as fast as she'd like to. I'm trying to stay just one jump ahead of her. It seems to me she just might try to kill you and make it look like an accident.
Like with Chris?
Yes. So here, take it.
Oh, but
take it. And keep it near you at all times. You understand? At all times.
Oh, sorry, Andrea. I hope I didn't wake you.
No. Just resting, Sybil. You want something?
Well, yes. I thought we might talk.
About what?
Andrea, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, about you. And I think you ought to see a psychiatrist.
Oh.
So does Murray. Anyhow, he doesn't think it would be a bad idea.
You've discussed it with Murray, have you?
I love you. Murray loves you. It was only natural I should go to him for advice.
You are lying, and you know it.
What are you talking about?
You are either trying to drive me out of my mind or trying to make it look as if I am so that you can have me committed.
Andrea!
Everything that's happened to me since Chris's death, which was no accident, Sybil. You killed him.
I?
Everything that's happened since then. Every strange, incredible thing. That business with the cars, the dinner bit. The painting with only three children in it instead of four. Oh, yes. And even my meeting with Chris. Chris in the flesh. I don't know how you managed that. But it's all been arranged. Every single thing arranged by you.
Why should I do such things
to you? To get control of the money that we share jointly. To get Murray for your husband.
You are out of your mind. To think that I would do anything so vicious, so depraved.
Yes, vicious and depraved. You!
And when I realized it, when I could no longer hide it from myself and had to face it, that my sister, the sister I loved devotedly, had murdered our brother,
Andrea,
and was now tricking me into thinking I was going out of my head. When I realized that, Sybil, I didn't want to live anymore. I wanted to die.
Oh, Andrea, dearest.
I want
dearest.
To die.
What are you doing?
Murray gave me this gun to protect myself with against you. I told him I was scared of guns. I'm afraid even to touch them. But I didn't tell him why. I didn't tell him. I was afraid I'd use it on myself.
Andrea, no!
I can't go on living, Sybil. All that meant anything to me is gone. Chris is dead. You've turned on me. You want me dead and out of the way so that you could have the money and Murray.
Oh, right then. You shall have what you want now.
Give me that gun.
It's gone.
Come in. You're my skill. Give it.
Sybil. Sybil!
Hello?
Murray? This is Andrea.
Yes, Andrea.
Murray? I've just killed Sybil.
go now, Andrea. Andrea, dear, the funeral's over.
So is my life. They're both down there now. Side by side. Under the ground. Chris and Sybil.
Come on. It's cold. You're shivering. Come on now.
All right. I never thought, when I vowed to visit Chris's grave every day, I never thought that in a few short weeks we'd be visiting Sybil.
What's the matter? Why have you stopped?
Someone. Coming towards us on the path. Look, they are under the trees.
What?
It looks like Sybil.
You're imagining things.
No, look, it's a woman. You can see her clearly now. Sybil's clothes, the blue suit that she wore. That Sybil's hat. Hurry! It is. It can't be, but it is Sybil. Why, Andrea. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
I came to visit Chris.
Marvin!
Easy, Andrea.
Marvin, it's just
Oh, dear, there's no one here but us. You're imagining things.
No. Sybil, it's you, isn't it?
Of course.
But You're dead.
Dead? I'm very much alive, as you can see.
I killed you. Shot you to death. My God! We just buried you.
Come on now, Andrea. I want you home. I'll get you a sedative.
She's there, I tell you.
I don't see anyone.
I do. Heaven help me. I'm mad. I'm out of my mind. Murray. Help me. I've done a terrible thing and I'm being punished. But you've got to help me. Save me.
Terrible thing? What terrible thing, Andrea?
I killed Sybil deliberately. I murdered her, Murray. I murdered her. It's just as I murdered Chris. I pushed him off the terrace to his death. I shot Sybil to make it look like an accident. Oh, I knew if I pointed the gun at my head, she'd try to take it away from me. The tricks and all that happened. Sybil wasn't playing the tricks. I was.
You, Andrea? You played those tricks?
You hear, Murray? Here.
I'm listening, Andrea.
No. You heard Sybil. Sybil.
There is no Sybil here.
Oh, forgive me, Chris. Forgive me, Sybil. Forgive me.
Of course. But why did you do all this?
To make it look as if you were trying to get me out of the way. When all the time I was planning to do away with you. It was all a trick. It was nothing but a trick.
Yes, a trick that backfired, I'm afraid. Backfired on you, Andrea.
What?
You heard me correctly. You've been fooled. Fooled by your own trick.
Understand, I don't...
Tell her, Sybil.
She is standing there?
Yes, Andrea. I am. And very much alive.
What? How?
Oh, Murray. You tell her. I can't.
Andrea, you went too far. You overreached yourself. Your story about meeting Chris clinched things for me.
Oh.
It was impossible. Either you had to be insane, and I knew you weren't, or you had to be lying. And that was when I decided to force your hand and use a few tricks of my own.
Oh, what about the gun you gave me?
It contained blanks.
Oh.
I took Sybil into my confidence. I had to, and she played her part very well.
I'm sorry, Andrea, but you did bring it on yourself.
Yes. Yes, I did.
All right, Andrea. Let's go.
No.
What?
I don't want to go home with you. I'm too ashamed. Please. I don't want to go home.
We're not going home, Andrea. We're going to the police.
As I said at the outset, the world changes, but people do not. There are those who believe this planet we inhabit is a school. A school where we are sent by God, by providence, what you will, to learn to be better. Experience, of course, is the teacher. A harsh teacher, but an effective one.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Metabusiness Bureau knows.
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's... Oh, my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau. I think you'll want to know that Sybil Carter is now Mrs. Murray Redmond, and they are very happily married. Andrea is living quietly and comfortably in a sanitarium. For as it turned out, strangely enough, this woman who pretended that her sister was trying to drive her mad really was. Our cast included Beatrice Strait, Paul Hecht, Marion Seldes, and George Petrie. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Every cop in this city is looking for you, Top Dog.
Dave, don't bait him.
That's okay, lady. I know it. I am number one.
Sure, something to be really proud of.
Did you really shoot Mrs. Schofield?
Ah, she caught me. She caught me going through her apartment.
Just shoot an old woman in cold blood?
Well, she seen me, didn't she? No. Listen, baby, I'm a three-time loser. Now, I got nothing to lose.
But that poor little thing,
she could have pulled me out of the file. She seen me. And anybody sees me on a job gets it. Anybody catches me on a job gets it. Hey, that's where you get a break, man. Now, ain't you glad you're blind, huh? You couldn't give him a make on me. Huh? Hey, lady, you blind like your husband?
No,
yes,
I'm...
Yes, we're both blind.
You seen me too, lady, huh?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS News is next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. And the weather outlook, fair and continued warm through Thursday, but with a cooling trend on Thursday. The highs near 80, lows in the mid-50s. Winds northerly, 5 to 15 miles per hour. There'll be no chance of rain. In downtown Seattle currently, a temperature of 67 degrees, the barometer rising at 29.92. At KIXI, the time is 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford's reorganization of economic policy reportedly is on its way to being completed. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Top presidential aide Philip Buchan tells the Associated Press there will be what he calls a breakthrough fairly soon in Mr. Ford's restructuring economic policy. Buchan says the president plans to give his longtime associate, William Seidman, a top-level economic post in the administration. That, says Buchan, probably will include some of the duties of economic counselor Kenneth Rush. Rush is leaving the White House for a diplomatic post. The AP reports that Seidman would not comment on its report. Sources in the White House say the president may, on Wednesday, appoint Princeton University professor Albert Rees to head the new Wage and Price Agency. Rees indicated in an interview with AP that he has been approached about the job and has agreed to accept it. Rees is understood to agree with Treasury Secretary Shultz that wage and price controls should not be reimposed. More CBS News in a minute.
Sun is shining, things are growing, things are going well with you and me.
Future plan together, a rich full life together, and things look bright as they can be.
We're helping 40 million people, oh, 40 million people who know the future is now. Back to positive life, we help to plan your future, because the future is now.
The future will be here in a moment. Don't let it take you by surprise. At Metropolitan Life, we've spent over a century helping people prepare for the future. And Metropolitan can do the same for you.
At Metropolitan Life, we help to plan your future, because the future is now.
Vice presidential nominee Nelson Rockefeller was back before the Senate Rules Committee on Tuesday for the second day of confirmation hearings. Mariah McLaughlin reports.
The questioning of Rockefeller by the committee has not been what you would call tough, except when Senator Robert Byrd tried to get Rockefeller to admit that the arrangement worked out with former President Nixon to return the White House tapes to his possession was not in the best interest of the American people. Since, said Byrd, it might interfere with the people's right to know the full truth about Watergate. Rockefeller said he didn't know enough about the arrangement to criticize it. And so it went back and forth for almost a half an hour when finally Senator Byrd just gave up.
I'm a great admirer of you and of your record as governor of New York. But I'll say this, you're about the hardest man I've ever seen to pin down.
You've got an ability to put someone on the spot beyond anything I've ever seen before. I'll say that for you, sir.
Rockefeller thought he would finish today, but he'll be back before the committee tomorrow. Mariah McLaughlin, CBS News, Washington.
Former Army Lieutenant William Calley may, on Wednesday, have his military conviction of murder overturned. We have that story from Bruce Hall in Atlanta.
Federal District Judge Robert Elliott in Columbus, Georgia, is expected to issue a long-awaited ruling Wednesday morning on a motion that Calley's constitutional rights were violated during his military trial more than 4 years ago. In a hearing 3 months ago, Calley's attorney cited command influence by former President Nixon and massive pretrial publicity. Judge Elliott said he would give those charges serious consideration in his final ruling, which will be released tomorrow. Calley has spent the past 3 months in a federal prison in Leavenworth and was held for nearly 3 years under house arrest at Fort Benning after he was convicted of killing 22 civilians at My Lai. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Atlanta.
More in a minute.
Give your hand to a friend,
Give your heart to your love, but give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then, ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1? You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type pills.
Give your cold to Contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Now that Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy has taken himself out of the running for the presidential nomination in 1976, other Democrats are starting to make their moves. Without making a formal statement that he is a candidate for the nomination, Democratic Senator Walter Mondale said Tuesday night that he is 99% on the way toward entering the race. Mondale told a Minnesota AFL-CIO convention that it will be a tough fight, but in Mondale's words, I think our chances are better than many people believe. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time now is 6 minutes past 11.